Arab leaders meet in Tunis Monday and Tuesday for their annual summit. They'd been expected to focus on the U.S.-backed plans for political reform in the Middle East, but this week's assassination of Hamas leader Sheikh Ahmed Yassin may supersede other issues. To gauge reaction in the Arab world, we turn to Hisham Melhem, the Washington correspondent for Asafir newspaper in Beirut, as well as contributor to Al Arabiya television. Welcome.
Thank you.
What's your sense of the reaction in the Arab world to Sheikh Yassin's assassination?
The Arab world reacted with outrage this escalation of Israeli violence against the Palestinians. Most Arab states, most Arab commentators saw this as a continuation, albeit escalation of the war of that Sharon has been waging against the Palestinians. Even those who disagree violently, maybe verbally, with the strategy and the vision of Sheikh Yassin and the Hamas movement.
So could you give me a summary then of what you would expect to come out of this two-day summit next week?
The Arab states will denounce the Israeli assassination of Sheikh Ahmed Yassin. They will denounce the policies of Ariel Sharon. They will criticize the United States' position on the assassination, the veto at the United Nations. At the same time, they will express their skepticism and their awareness and their concern about the American reform agenda.
Today, the Iraqi foreign minister was quoted in a newspaper as saying Arab countries must discuss Washington's proposals for political reform in the region and basically pick out what seems best for the Arab world. Are there any parts of the U.S. proposals that you expect to be received positively next week?
Probably the economic aspects will be received positively. The issue of empowering people, the issue of allowing political pluralism, dissent, free media, these issues are anathema to most Arab states, and I think they will resist the United States along these lines.
But economic proposals?
I think some of them will accept the economic proposals, thinking that the ruling elites will probably and the business community probably will benefit from it.
So the money's okay.
The money's okay. Political empowerment is not okay.
And one major goal of the United States in Iraq is democracy in Iraq. Do you see any possibility of residual impact in other Arabic countries, a kind of pro-democracy movement spreading through the region?
I would say yes, because Iraq is such a pivotal state, and it's one of the few countries that can be potential leaders in the Arab world. And Iraq also is a heterogeneous society, which would be interesting to see, for instance, how they are going to apply the principle of federalism, because that could be applied, for instance, in a country like Sudan, where you have minorities. So it will have regional implications.
You know, to a casual observer here in the United States, it sometimes appears that the effort to combat extremism and terrorism is a Western initiative. Does the Arab world itself have a strategy for fighting these forces of extremism and terrorism?
They really do not have a strategy. If you by strategy, you mean a mixture of political and security and economic measures. What they do have sometimes, and we've seen it in places like Egypt and Syria and Algeria and other places, is the use of coercion, the use of force against these radical Islamists in particular. But you have to deal with them not only through security means, but through other social and economic program and cultural programs. You have to challenge their ideology, you have to challenge their assumptions, you have to challenge their methods. And we don't see that taking place in any Arab or Muslim countries. And you cannot do it by sheer coercion. And that's the problem, from Pakistan to Morocco.
And is there any particular reason that it doesn't take place?
Are not democratic states. When you do not allow them to empower themselves, to organize themselves, to form political parties, to form unions, to form all the things that we look at here in as part of civil society, they turn to the mosque. They resort to the bedrock certainty that they have in their lives, which is religion. And that's why we have this phenomenon now in the Arab and the Muslim world, which is extremist. It's not democratic, and that's the problem. I mean, most of those reformers in the Arab and the Muslim world find themselves being squeezed between repressive regimes on the one hand and opposition forces that are not democratic.
And nothing simple will resolve that.
It's a big problem. I think the outside world may have, has a role or should have a role in terms of helping these democratic movements and put some pressure on the government. But the United States has to do it, for instance, or the Europeans have to do it in a consistent way, in a rational way, in a long-term way. And at the same time, you cannot ignore a festering wound in the region, which is the continuing Arab-Israeli conflict. And unless you deal with that issue simultaneously while pushing the reform agenda, that issue will be exploited by a lot of people to undermine and to abort any kind of serious reform.
Hisham Melhem is the Washington correspondent for As-Safir newspaper in Beirut. He's also a contributor to Al Arabiya television. Thank you so much for joining us.